Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
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 Hey,
Tafuti.
Hello, hello. Welcome
Tafuti.
To another broadcast.
Welcome.
Tafuti.
And welcome to come to
Arturo.
Live and on the air with the Rocky Star.
Heck yeah. I think we had a technology
Arturo,
issue. But
Tafuti. Arturo Tafuti.
We're just... Uh-oh. Anyway, looks like we have returned from The Walking Dead here. It's good to talk to you.
Tafuti.
Had a...
Arturo.
Tafuti. It's freezing here in Myrtle Beach, I'll tell you that. Anyway,
Arturo,
are we all doing well tonight? I hope we are.
Absolutely.
Oh, my money is Dave's out back from the hacienda smoking one of his chupacabras.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually indoors.
With the Pacalolo. With the Pacalolo.
I'm sorry, Papa Stro. What did you say?
I can't understand what you're saying either, John.
Well, I'm here. Can you hear me now? I feel like a Verizon commercial.
Yeah, it's a little right. Better now. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Apparently we had a worse than a wardrobe malfunction here. It's okay. I'm just glad. And all that, we got present and accounted for. First of all, Liz is on assignment. Greg Bowe is got a hall pass. We have with us Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing tonight, Papa Stro?
Well, first of all, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Perfect.
Oh, thank God. That's a good sign. That's a good sign.
Yes, it is. It's a very good time. I know. So it looks like. And so how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. Fighting the weather, but other than that, just peachy. Just praying for everybody that's caught this storm, especially up north with those subterranean temperatures. Good Lord.
I know those negative 50 degrees in Chicago. That, and by the way, the picture that I posted on Facebook, it has to do with how when it gets so cold, there's a ring of ice around the around the image of the sun when we look at it. And so I thought it was beautiful. And just they said that we haven't seen those in years, and so it's just that cold. Anyway, Papa Stro, we're glad you're here with us. It looks like the Queen of Sparkle, Liz Allred. Liz, are you here with us tonight?
Liz, I am, gentlemen. I am here.
Liz! Liz!
We're humbled, Liz.
Liz.
We are humbled.
So where are you, Liz? You sound like you're traveling.
I am. I don't know if you guys heard, but 3 Wednesdays ago, I totaled my car, and tonight picked up my new one. So
awesome.
I'm traveling back from picking up the car, but I didn't want to miss the opportunity to talk to you guys again tonight, considering this is my first night free since. So here I am. So you guys caught me in the car.
Fantastic.
Ooh. Back in the thick of it, girls.
That's great,
car.
Liz.
Don't keep us in suspense. What kind of car? What'd you get?
It's a 2019 Honda Civic.
Oh,
nice.
Wow.
It's a GM blue, so it looks like the cerulean crayon. So it's pretty.
I love crayons. It's great.
Smells like a crayon box inside because you know that new car smell. So it's perfect.
Yes.
That's one way to do it.
Go
we're happy for you, Red.
I'm going to plug gap insurance. Anybody who buys a car, get gap insurance. It's totally worth it. I promise you all day, gap insurance. That is my plug.
Gap. Get it.
Yes, ma'am.
Get the gap. Get the gap.
Gap.
Man, if we can only have that for...
And it's not that much more, is it, Liz?
No, and it is actually, it is probably the best thing you can ever do. It doesn't matter. If you wreck the car and then, you know, 6 months after you get it, 3 hours after you get it, as long as you have gap insurance, whatever is owed on the car, insurance covers the difference and pays it off.
Magnanimous.
So that's a lesson I want to share with everyone. And, yes, gap insurance is a must. Hey, don't cheap out on that. Don't cheap out on toilet paper. Don't cheap out on bleach. Don't cheap out on gap insurance.
Gap.
Gap. That's a heck of a plug. All right, well, we will remember that one. Three good pieces of advice from the Queen of Sparkle. That's great.
The Queen of Glitter and Gap Insurance.
That's exactly right, Liz.
Gapomania.
Well,
thank
you. How are you
guys?
That sounds
doing?
Like a wrestling
you.
Event.
So much.
Everything
we're
sounds like a wrestling event to you, John. By God. Everything sounds like a wrestling event to you. I could say turtles. It's like, oh, this is like a wrestling event.
Probably. So, anyway, that's great. Dave Atwell, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. Just keeping it indoors tonight. It's a little too chilly to be out there trying to enjoy a cigar this evening. It's that wind's picked up, and it's not doing bad until the wind gets hold of you and it cuts you in half. So,
come on, Dave. No dip in the pool?
No, nah, man. I'm going to wimp out tonight. So, yeah.
So, I don't blame you.
I thought you were going to be out there smoking. You have your Cohiba. I'm sorry, I think I called it a Chupacabra earlier.
Yeah, sometimes decisions have to be made despite the agony that comes with it. But, yeah, I'm not standing out in, you know, 12-degree weather and burning one tonight. I'm just not feeling it. So.
You're not burning the right one.
Yeah.
Oh my, Liz. Oh my. Wow.
We need to come back with a vengeance. I missed 3 weeks, guys.
I'm telling you.
We miss you. We're
make sure you guys miss me when
here.
I'm gone.
We do miss you.
I gotta keep you guys missing me when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, we do. We're glad you're here, and Dave's here, and I'm calling on Todd last for two reasons. First of all, got to call on Todd, see how you doing. But you said those prophetic words to me. This one came awfully early. I said, well, time moves quicker when you get toward the end of the or the end of time. So, how you doing, Todd?
Oh, I'm doing good. And like I told you earlier, we're 1 minute closer to the end of the world. We're a minute closer than we were a minute ago, just saying. So it's coming. But I'm outstanding and super natural. I'm seeing that Dave's there sitting in the Dave and Stroh in a salubrious 39 degrees. I'm doing all right. It's warmest temperature we've had today. We are at -1 at the moment. It was
nice.
-16. It was -16 this morning when first time I went out and fired up the vehicle.
Makes me want to play Earth, Wind, and Fire's Summertime, man.
Not on the old city tonight, but other than that, I am absolutely outstanding and supernatural, and pleased as punch to be with y'all. I'm happy that Liz is back as well.
Well, thank you. I was just going to say, I didn't want to be, like, you know, too forward, but as cold as it is outside, you know it's a whole lot warmer inside with you because as hot as you are, you're going to bring the temperature way up with you.
Oh, hey now.
Uh-oh. Well, damn.
Lord have mercy.
That's getting deep and cold, apparently.
I'll drink to that.
Now, Todd, after that vote of confidence here, as I told everybody,
go Todd.
Everybody can bring us a topic. Everybody brings a topic. And so, Todd, you're going to get to go first. What are you supposed to talk about for a while tonight?
Oh, no, we're in trouble now.
You don't have to talk about me. It's okay.
Okay.
Oh, man.
There, that topic Dangless. Down pretty quick, huh?
Wow. I don't know. I happened to twig on something yesterday, and I was kind of bumming because the way I saw it, they said there was not an English translation. But did you guys know that the French actually did their own version of Project Blue Book?
Really?
Really?
And very different results. So the fun stuff has been trying to search up something that has an English translation.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of dead links out there, if you will. But it's called the Cometa Report. And they have a very different conclusion in Project Blue Book. It's
well,
spelled
C-O-M. Don't keep
that,
us in
that
in
there
the
is
pit.
There is some stuff that we probably ought to think about. They call
wow.
They come up in the category of UAD or UAP D. They have supposed to put a number on the end of like a 1, 2, 3, 4, but the 4 or the D, if you will, it's unexplained aerospace phenomena. For the UAP.
Mm-hmm.
The category D is we have a shit ton of evidence,
mm-hmm.
and we got no explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one, you know, things like where they have both, say, a pilot's visual report as well
mm-hmm.
as radar documentation to go along with it. Things like that.
Wow. Interesting.
And it's been interesting reading. I spent like 20 minutes rereading the chapter on that was talking about different forms of propulsion just to try to explain the absolute silence in the propulsion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's some very cool stuff out there. The Cometa Report is just, I don't know, I finally got to pull it out by the time I got done with work, and I've been pretty much transfixed. It's a blast. They take, break them down by all these categories. They show you how they put the whole process together. They actually have a great deal of cooperation between, involving civil and military organizations. And they have a lot of independent things from the various technology-oriented things. People asking about propulsion, you get your people that are into the environment they want to be involved in the testing of samples that were picked up from. So you get these people that want to be involved as opposed to those that are going to turn around and you know, just immediately boo-hoo it. So it's just an absolutely different report than we've seen in many a year. There's some really neat results coming through the some of the great comments, information that come out. The they even quote an American general back in 1947 said, "No, it it definitely happened. What do we have here? I'm trying to find the actual part of the article. I got this pulled off. Like I said, it's just amazing. They test everything from physical environment, weather, air traffic, photographs, radar data, traces left in the environment. It just goes on and on. It's just great. Great article. Oh, very, very much so. Ah, here we go. They're referencing General Twining, who is the head of the Air Material Command in America, and drafted a report he had. And this is in 1947. The phenomenon reported is something real. It is not a matter of visions or imagination. This shape objects, the size of which is comparable to that of our aircraft, do exist. And he does his own devil's advocate, and it is possible that some sightings correspond to natural phenomena. Then he goes to the rate of climb observed, maneuverability, escape maneuvers, lead one to assume that they are piloted or operated by remote control, and just a ton of information in it. COM, ETA, Cometa report. Find the English translation. It was released in France in 99. It's good reading, great information.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got out there with a good one here. All right, we'll do our pop culture stars report here. All right, I'm going to start with Liz, the Queen of Sparkle. Liz, have you ever had one of those things in the sky you couldn't explain, a UFO? You ever seen one?
You know what? I don't want to be like a bandwagoner, but I have, from what I think I believe I saw, seen such an occurrence.
Okay.
I can tell you where I was, how old I was, what I was doing. I was in the third grade, and I was kind of zoning out of, I guess, a subject I wasn't really caring about. And I remember looking out my window. I was staring out the window for a few minutes. I was watching traffic go by. And then out of the corner of my eye, I don't know what drew my eye up to look, but then I see like this red light that just hovered. And before I knew what was going on, the red light disappeared, but there was nothing it was attached to. And it wasn't behind anything. It was just a red light in the sky, and then the red light was gone. But it was there for, by the time I had tried to draw attention to it, and I had someone look, you know, it was gone. But it was weird. It was almost like, you know, radio towers, how they have those bright red lights. But
yep.
imagine if you saw it like 10 times that size, and just in the middle of a clear sky for no reason, and then just gone. I mean, it wasn't like a flare gun because it was too big. There was no tail. There was no trail. It was just there and then not. Now, could it be a natural occurrence? Could it be, you know, testing of some sort? Could it be, it could be many things. But that is the closest occurrence I have that I can honestly say I've experienced personally.
Okay. Well, that's a good one, Liz. I mean, it sounds pretty legit. And, Dave, you ever had an experience?
No, not when I'm sober, leastways.
Okay. Just to ask.
I don't get to be lucky.
Give that man a chupacabra.
So here's my lick. We're going to go on a little conspiracy theory thing here.
Is that Nicole in it?
No, close.
Oh, she's coming back here in a couple weeks now.
Yeah, I bet she is.
Yeah,
she is.
And you're ready for it.
I guess it was right around summertime. I got some old maps from my dad from when he was in Vietnam. He had gotten his hands on some stuff that he had dug up from, you know, his more than successful career in the Marine Corps. And he had some maps from Vietnam when he had been out there
the two tours of duty had out there. So I started taking the coordinates and started Google Earthing, if you will, the places where Dad was at. And if you've ever gotten on a Google Earth, you can't look but at so many things until you go, okay, I'm going to go look at Stonehenge. You know, you just can't help it. It's just one of those things. So what I did is I looked. I don't know if you guys watched that Curse of Oak Island thing that comes on History where they're looking for that treasure. So I said, well, let me see what's going on there. Because summertime, the show isn't on, but they're actually in progress of doing the digs in the summertime because they can't do anything after the fall. It's just too cold up there. So anyhow, I Google Earth the island, and there's cranes. There's that great big oscillator that they got that they're drilling into the ground and everything. There's trucks. I mean, it looks like a straight construction site, right? So I was like, wow, they're doing a lot of stuff, you know? So anyhow, I look at my house, all right? And my house, by the location of certain vehicles and where they're parked, I could tell that the picture of my house is at least 3 years old. So, because certain things in my house have been added and taken away and whatnot, and I know that the house was last in that condition at least 3 years ago. Okay, so keep that number in mind, all right? So this evening, I'm doing the same thing. I'm cruising through some coordinates that I had gotten from my dad and everything, and was looking at different parts of Vietnam where he had served and everything. And I said, once again, let me go see what the Oak Island looks like, because I've got it saved on the little thing there. Well, when I go back over and look at Oak Island, the island looks totally undisturbed. There's no construction. There's no trucks. There's no digging. There's no nothing. It looks like it has not been touched. All right? And that show's been on for, what, 5 or 6 seasons now? So they've been digging for at least 6, 7 years. So 6 months ago, they had all this excavation work going on, and the place looked like the DMZ. But now the picture they have, it almost looks pristine. And it makes you wonder, because as we've spoken before about these guys, in the event they find anything of, if they find gold coins down there, that's not the end of the world. But if they find some type of religious artifact, you know the government's going to swoop right on in, and we'll never know about it. So why is it suddenly this picture on Google Earth has everything smooth where 6 months ago it was tore all to pieces? And it just kind of caught me by surprise. It had me wondering. I'm like, wow, you know, the 3-year-old picture of my house still exists. It's the exact same picture it was 6 months ago. So I don't know. It's got to make one wonder. To be certain, they're not paying Google off to change the pictures. You know, that's a little far out there. But, how did it go back to that? You know what I mean?
Stonehenge gives them a phone call. They say, return that to the way it was 7 years ago. They'll do it. It seems to be the home of affairs is Stonehenge.
I mean, unless there's some pothead in the basement somewhere who's just like, hey, you know what would be funny? What if we just put these random pictures here? And then all of a sudden someone goes, I don't know what you're posting, but that's not accurate. And then they move it back. Or could it be a conspiracy? I think probably.
think likely.
Yeah, I just found it strange.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, and, you know, it shouldn't be that way, but I guess the government feels like it has to be, and if they feel like it has to be, then that's fine. They're so conspiracied out right now, it's not even funny. Well, Dave, thank you
right.
for that for that observation. That's an interesting one. And now we come to the man, no myth, but the legend, Papa Stroh. You ever seen him go, or you have a comment on what Todd said?
Actually, I got a story of my own, honestly.
Okay.
This was during one of the times I was on set for the drama / horror film The Hollow Oak, in which this was one of our all night shoots that we did. And but this particular scene, it was a scene where the witch hunters were hanging the witch in this hollow oak tree, hence the name of the film, The Hollow Oak, and how it kind of got started with the history and how the hollow oak had the curse with the aftermath. Well, we're doing the scene, the hanging scene, right? And every time one of the actors, we would say our lines, we would hear this faint voice in the background. And we're like, where's this voice coming from, right? And even the sound lady was stopping us, saying, guys, you got to hear this, right? And she did the playback, and she had the voice in the playback with the sound. And we're like, what in the world? So we're searching through the woods, right, wondering if anybody else is around, right? And we happened to stumble upon a graveyard just down the path where we're doing the shoot with unmarked epitaphs. And this was like all
wow.
happening around 3 o'clock at night, you know, pretty much the witching hour, right?
Ooh,
so,
yeah.
Pretty interesting stuff. So, needless to say, we had some Supernatural fans on set, if you get my drift.
Oh, man.
Could you tell what they were saying? Or was it just mumbling?
Oh, they were repeating our lines.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Imitation
like
is a sincere form of flattery, right?
Yeah, it was pretty eerie, actually, to witness. I mean, it was just like picking up EVPs without an EVP machine, more or less.
Well, we've always had strange things happening, and I guess we're just noticing them more because of the internet. And well, that's a good one, Papa. So no UFOs, but ghostly sounds out filming The Hollow Oak. That's a good one. Well, appreciate that. I'll just say I've mentioned a couple UFO stories, but guess what I'll say is when we were, as we were in our quest to get to 200 likes on Facebook with Pop Culture Stars, which were moving along just fine. And it turns out I was doing some research on my computer, Dave Atwell, and I found some of my evidence about Anna Nicole Smith. So I'm putting together a little web page with some pictures, and in a couple of weeks, we'll blow that one up. I got some evidence that might surprise you. So, and I've got a person or two I can go talk to here in North Myrtle Beach. You're going to be up there in the next week or so, and might wander around, talk to a few people that I used to know, and see if I can pull anything back out. I've just always been fascinated with that story. But that's just me. Since it hits so close to home, Myrtle Beach, so I'll see what we got. I'll see what we got. I'll report in, and we'll have a spirited discussion. I will alert everybody before it happens, so you can take a look at the webpage I put up. So we'll go. Well, Todd, you got us on a good train of thought there. I really appreciate it. We all do. Now, does anybody, who else has got a great little topic for us to talk about for a few minutes? These go pretty well. Who's got one? Someone speak up.
Well, I'll jump in. Totally off track of what we've been talking about.
Okay.
We often talk about film and everything and the entertainment industry and everything. So the other night, I sat down and watched Apocalypse Now.
Oh, good
okay.
film.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I haven't
Marlon
watched
Brando,
that movie.
Maybe.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a good 20 years, right? I sat down and watched the whole thing. And I was amazed at how much it sucked more this time around than the first time I watched it. I mean, it won all these, you know, awards, and it's deemed as one of the great war movies of all time. And I'm watching, I'm scratching my head, I'm going, good Lord, this movie is so far out. You know what I mean? It made you appreciate how bad it was. And so, you know, with all that being said, I went on a quest to find other bad movies that I haven't watched in years, and I actually stumbled across the $6 copy of Disney's The Black Hole from the 70s, and I'll be watching that here pretty soon just so I can disintegrate my mind even more. But
boy, that's been a while since that one.
But yeah, I watched it and I was just scratching. I'm like, good grief. I says, you know, and I will go on and say this, the whole sequence with Duvall, anything that Duvall's in for me is okay. I think he's great. So,
Yeah,
when he's doing the whole Calvary scene and playing, you know, Flight of the Valkyrie and all that kind of stuff, and he's doing, you know, that smell, that gasoline smell, smells like victory. You know, that's great. And the good thing about it, or the genius behind it, is that when he's on the beach, because that scene, they're trying to land that beachhead so he can go surfing. It's not a strategic place that they're picking up for the, you know, for the war. It's good waves, and he wanted to occupy that beachhead so he can have the surf. And the whole time they're doing it, he's talking, and all these guys are ducking and, you know, hitting the deck and everything. And Duvall's walking around talking about the waves that he's seeing, and all these bombs are going off and the mortar rounds are hitting. He's not even flinching. That was indeed the best part of the movie. But the rest of it, just absolute head-scratcher how it got the acclaim that it did. But nevertheless, so there I'm throwing it out there. Who's seen some ridiculous-ass movies here in the last little bit?
Oh, it's bad movie review time. Who's got one?
I watched a movie actually last night. I'm not big on watching movies. I work too much in television that I'd rather read. But I ended up watching a movie last night called Superfly, and it's set in Atlanta. And it's not my usual go-to when it comes to, like, a movie I actually want to sit down and watch. But I will say, it had me intrigued. It had me feel for the characters. It had me feel for, like, drug cartels. Like, I don't know. It gave me sympathy for things that I don't normally have sympathy for. It was really good. I enjoyed it. And at the end, there was, like, this huge twist, at least for me, that, you know, it's kind of like a mind game at the very end, and you kind of see the resolution and the end of it. It was done really well, I think, personally. I like the story. Good.
That was a winner.
I think so. And it had some parts. Now, I will say this. It had me very uncomfortable at some points because I was watching this movie with my mom sitting beside me because I'm visiting her right now. And there was I don't know. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. If a sex scene comes on and your parent is in the same room with you, everybody is instantly uncomfortable. Well, as a gay woman, you know, you don't ever really see that type of your life modeled on screen. Well, in this particular film, there was a momentary lapse where it was three individuals in a shower, and obviously two of them have to be the same. And all of a sudden, I see, like, a representation of part of my life. And then it's like, oh, I can't even, like, validate how great this is cinematically because my mother is sitting right here. So, like, inside I'm cheering. I'm like, yay, we're making a representation. And then it's like, oh, no, bad. So then my mom goes, what was the name of this movie? And then she hits the menu button so that she can see the name of the movie come up on the screen just to kind of clear it away. She's like, oh, it's Superfly. Wow. Okay, cool. And then she hits the menu button after the sex scene is over. Yeah. Awkward.
Yeah. Second annual MTV Music Awards were pretty awkward when I was visiting my parents, and Madonna got topless. And you know, as you said, when things like that happen when you're around your parents, it's just it's a little chilly. I think I'm going to go do some ironing.
Like instantly, and it's like unspoken rule.
Oh my
Everyone's
God!
All on the same page. Everyone's equally uncomfortable. It's like, I'm aware that's how I came to be. I'm aware that that is how I now have life. And I appreciate that you have participated in such a function. But I don't want to be experiencing anything in the same room with my parental units. I'm sorry. I don't want to see it on TV. It's weird. Like, and I'm totally glad my parents had sex. Like 100%. Because without that, I wouldn't be here. But no, there's a line, and it's just, I can't. At 33 years old, I still cannot. Like, no, I can't do it. Like, no, sorry.
Yeah, I think.
Well, speaking from the other end of the spectrum, it's not easy on the parental end either. though I will say that, like my son, the older he gets, the more he morphs into me. And, you know, we're big Game of Thrones fans. And, you know, we've kind of installed the Raiderac system in Game of Thrones where it's like, yep, that's the one. So, you know, there's certain ones in certain seasons that were like, yeah, that was rack of the season right there. So, you know, if you turn it into a little bit of fun, so be it. But, yeah, there is some discomfort coming from the other end, too, when it turns up. Depending on what all it is sometimes, and it's like, you know, and of course me, I'm not real good at hiding it. You know, I'll be the one that hits the old, you know, hey now, all right. So how about those Celtics? You know, I only make it worse.
Well, I think it's a little different between dads and moms, though. Like,
oh,
with
yeah.
My dad, like this is like totally out of left field, but when I came out, I was 13. I was hanging out with my dad at a sports bar, and we were checking out waitresses together. Like, my dad and I can have that conversation. Like, my mom and I, no way. Like, she blushes when she sees Kevin Bacon's butt and Footloose. Like, it's just not the same relationship. Like, so I think dads kind of have a different, like, level of uncomfortable, but totally not with my mom. I just, no. Line I can't cross with my mom. She's just, no, But, like, dads,
right.
You gotta admit, dads are like bros. Like, dads are like, you know, we can talk about, you know, and it's like
right.
5 seconds later, we're talking about putting steaks on the grill or throwing darts. You know, it's not like it's like a whole, we gotta stop the whole production because we saw a boob. It's like, you know, cool, we'll move on from this because we're adults. But, like, with my mom, it's like, should we have the talk? I'm like, Mom, I'm 33 and married. No, we don't need the talk. Bless your heart.
That's when mom jumps up off the couch and goes, yeah, I think my meatloaf is burning. And then she goes out in the kitchen and never returns, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who else has got a crummy movie that will lead us into magnificent conversation? Stro, you got a bad movie back there in the back of your mind? You've seen a bunch of them. You're one of our movie critics.
Well, I don't know. Movies that you may consider to be bad, I thought it'd be classics. So,
whatever you want.
Well, I did watch The Last Dragon the other day, which was definitely one of the rock and B movies in the 80s.
Yeah.
And Shownuff was my hero, man. I was so digging Shownuff. I mean, that guy was just comedy gold.
All right. Well, that was a good choice. Todd, you got one?
Oh, I got
wow. Wow, there goes crickets on that one. I guess it was a good choice.
Everybody loves it.
That wasn't bad, brother. But Incredibles 2, I don't know that it was necessarily worth the wait.
Oh, really?
No.
It was all right, but I don't know if it was worth the wait.
I tell you what was a bad movie. Oh my God, I gotta tell you this. I went with a friend of mine, his daughter, to see Into the Woods, right? And no one gave us the memo it was a freaking musical with the worst singing I've ever heard of in my entire life. And my friend's daughter wanted to see Johnny Depp, right? That was the whole point of seeing the movie, right? And he was portraying the Mad Hatter. And he was in the movie every bit of a minute. He got killed off, right? So the rest of the movie, we're just being tortured by this god-awful singing. I just wanted to strangle Little Red Riding Hood. Just shut up, for God's sake. And Jack and the Beanstalk and the whole gang, man. I just want to just bitch slap every last one of them. And my friend and I are looking at each other like, this is like 2 hours of our life we can't get back. And their daughter's just laughing at us the whole time because she knew along with the – she was smartened up. We had no clue, right? So, you know, we're just like looking at each other like, oh, my God, what have we done? Unbelievable. So don't waste your time on Into the Woods, for God's sake. It'll drive you crazy.
Whatever you do. You know,
yeah,
sometimes
it,
I think you kind of outgrow.
It's worse than
outgrow.
Scratching the chalkboard with your nails. That's how bad it is. It's terrible. Oh, it's horrible.
There are some movies that, you know, you watched 20 years ago or, you know, longer than that, and you're like, ah, this is a great movie, and then you watch it. Because, I mean, let's face it, the world is a whole different place between a 20-year-old and a 40-year-old. You know, and I'm getting long in the tooth now, so when I turn on things, what entertained me 25 years ago isn't hitting a lick now. Not to mention the fact that I'm turning into Hank Hill and everything. So, I mean, it's funny how some of these movies, and another one that comes to mind is Grease. When I was a kid, Grease was coming out. I think I was around 9, 10 years old when Grease came out. Thought it was a great flick. Now, all I got to do is even remotely hear a song from it. And, I just want to take my life. It's like, who put this together? Who did this? Somebody make it stop. It's worse than any stomach virus you could ever have. You know what I mean?
I got to tell you a funny story about John Travolta. Oh, my God. A buddy of mine, Kevin Nash, was on the Punisher movie that he was on, right? He said, you'll never believe this, but... while he was on set, John Travolta tried to hit on him on set.
It's not hard to believe.
You can't believe it.
I got chills. They're multiplying. Yeah.
Kev was the Russian guy that he sent to take out the Punisher in the film, right? And
yeah.
He said he didn't count on being hit on by John Travolta.
Yeah, John Travolta's an odd cat. Must be some of that Scientology getting in there.
Oh. It gives a whole new meaning to Greece when he's yelling out, Sandy! Sandra D!
Yeah, there's your Greece lightning. Yeah.
That was just about
oh
to
my
say,
God.
Burning up a quarter of a mile there.
Oh, wow. For real.
Well,
but you know, just
I
the opposite
have...
though. When it comes down to that, there are movies that get better to me, like Goodfellas. Every time I see Goodfellas, it gets better. Every time I see Platoon, it gets better. Every time I see The Godfather, it gets better. Yeah,
yes.
Platoon was great. Tom Berenger. Funny story about Platoon. My dad, when I was growing up, you couldn't keep me and my dad in the same room together. We'd be throwing hands at one another. We were too much alike. Could not get along for anything. And so he had come back from overseas, and he was trying to bridge the gap a little bit. And then he says, well, let's go out and see this Platoon movie. I says, all right. So we go out, and Tom Berenger, of course, was the bad guy in the movie. So, you know, we're in the movie theater, and all the Tom Berenger parts, there's two guys in the theater going, yes, and it's me and the Sergeant Major. So if there was ever a bonding moment, it was knowing that my dad also cheers for the bad guys in the movies like I do. So, but that's another one of those movies, to me, it gets better every time I see it. So, you know, I guess there's a yin for every yang, you know.
There's a story that the Willem Dafoe scene, when he was getting shot up and they were talking about how dramatic it was, that their personal effects were not going off with that the way they were supposed to. But they felt that he was so good that they actually kept it without all the bullets striking them.
Really?
They had planned to hit him. But, you know, that's one of those, a keeper blooper, how do you call that?
Yeah, because Berenger was awesome in that movie.
Oh, most definitely.
Well, I guess I've got a story that's about bad movies in general. I got to meet Mike and Harry Medved, who are, you know, film critics and a lot of fun. And I got to meet them early in their career when they had just written, in fact, I went and pulled the copies out, The Hollywood Hall of Shame and the Golden Turkey Award. These predate the Golden Raspberry Awards. And I was telling them what great books they were and how much I liked them. And they said, well, we like them too, but you sure can't make a living out of them, so we're going to have to do something else. I said, you're kidding. It's the funniest stuff I ever read. They said, yes, it is, but you're the only person that bought the book. It was really kind of funny. So, I mean, as much as we love bad movies and love talking about them, I guess it's kind of a small group. Everybody wants to talk about the Avengers, or they want to talk about, you know, the current Marvel or DC movie, and I think bad movies are hysterical to talk about. You know, I loved it when Dave started talking about Apocalypse Now. I used to call it Apocalypse Never, Dave. I never wanted to see it again.
Yes.
And one of my favorite films, y'all gonna love this. William Marshall was one of the greatest Shakespearean actors in history. I used to love to watch his Shakespeare. But when he starred in Blackula, I thought that was the greatest film I ever saw.
Blackula.
And I mean, I don't care what anybody says. You know, the dude hanging up there on the ceiling and walking around on the... I mean, it was the greatest thing I ever saw. I mean, of course, it got air...
Blackula was right up there at Dolomite. Right up there at Dolomite.
Well, all right.
Well,
Dolomite. I just... But I just...
What's my name?
I had to get William Marshall out here. Because, I mean... I just love the guy. I mean, I'm going to have to go watch it tonight after I do some little bit more work after the show. I'm going to have to watch Blackula. I can't stand it. I'm going to have to watch it before the internet, before the black men in black come in and the internet goes down, you know. I gotta do that. Well, Dave, thank you. But just remember, it's really called Apocalypse Never.
Hey, that's the way I felt about Little House on the Prairie. Oh, my God. I was hoping Laura would just keep falling down the hill. Just keep falling and go away.
Oh, my God. That's the best part of the whole thing, is the opening sequence.
That's it. That is the best part of that show.
It really is the best part.
People keep telling me, like, you're awful because you're watching a little girl fall. I'm like, it's hilarious. And then look at her. When she sits up afterwards, she's like, done. It's great.
Yeah.
She's got that dazed look on her face, like she just ran into a window or something. Like, damn.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't we have inflammatory shows like F Troop that were so funny that we loved? And obviously, if one episode of F Troop came on television, that entire network would be gone. They would be collapsed by CNN and Fox News at the same time. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's right up there. That's right up there with Electra Woman and Diner Girl on Saturday mornings.
Jesus, I remember that. That's, yeah.
You see, that's the thing. Our world has gotten so politically weird. The things that we all grew up with, that we genuinely thought were funny, whether they were making fun of certain groups of people or certain actions. Well, I mean, you know, you can only get so unfriendly and so boring and so unhappy so much. I mean, you know, you just got to realize, I mean, you know, we used to live in a time when if something was funny, we'd laugh at it. Now they're going to run a hashtag on you.
Yeah, now you look around the room and see what everybody else is doing, and then you laugh. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, this might be because I'm obviously younger than some of you, like, I think political correctness is out of hand, like, 100%. Like, it has gone insane. But I think it's kind of like, so the elementary school that I went to didn't have air conditioning, so we all had fans in the room. Because that's how we cool off in the summer. Now, it's great, you know, we all have fans, but when we have that one little asshole kid who wants to put a pencil in the fan, we all lost the fan.
Hey, you have my sincerest apology for my actions.
But it's like
I knew what you did.
The actions of you. Where I think sometimes, in a certain way, political correctness had a good intention behind it initially, or has had good intention behind it, but it's gone so far because people have misused what it is and what it isn't, just to keep pushing agendas versus actually truly trying not to say, you know, inflammatory things that could actually genuinely hurt people. Now they use it as a hot button thing. So it's kind of like those few people who have chosen PC to be, that's just another PC thing. It almost seems like in a lot of ways, if it wasn't for the people who were misusing the initial, you know, push for it, it wouldn't be what it is. It's like, you know, we all have fans because we don't have air conditioning, but then we have that one kid who had to ruin it for everybody instead of utilizing the fan, which is a good thing, to combat the heat. It's like, well, we got this one idiot who doesn't know how to obviously use it and doesn't want to play by the rules, and so now, you know, it's out of hand, and now nobody gets a fan. You know, I think when you misuse something that is initially supposed to be good, it's going to take, like, the snowball effect, and next thing you know, you got a huge mountain of garbage and it's a laughing stock versus doing a good thing, like it initially tried to be. It ended up being a laughing stock, and now everyone's super sensitive, and no one can say anything.
Yeah, well, that stuff, the finger pointing gets old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does.
Even the word.
like, I'm not trying to bring the group down, like, totally. Like, I don't want to be like, yeah, yeah, PC is awesome. But, you know, I can't honestly say that PC is awesome. You know, being politically correct is, in some situations, you know, I think is necessary. But I think in all the things that are people are pushing for to be politically correct, like, I think it's like, come on, guys, like, really, really?
Yeah, it's a bit much. Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
And the thing is that I'll use the term couth. If you just be polite, that should be enough. You know what I mean? And to dissect every person's words and try to put titles and labels on them and everything. I mean, what was the old John Proctor in The Crucible when he said, are the accuser's hands always holy? Are the accuser's hands as clean as the hands of God? Makes all the sense in the world. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of these people you'll find are pointing fingers because they want the attention drawn away from themselves, you know?
Yep.
True, Dave.
Then, of course, you run up on people like me that just don't give a damn either way. And
I mean, I just want some news on the news channels. Not all this political correct stuff. That's not news. I want some news. I want to know who's fighting who. I want to know who's encroaching on whose borders or, you know, or whatever, for goodness sake. And, I mean, that's what I want. Just, you know, dumb John, dumb Dr. John. That's what I want. Well, Papa Stroh, do you have a burning question you'd like for us to discuss? We have not had one from you yet.
Well, I've been waiting my turn.
Your turn has arrived.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Well, let me say it. Oh, I just, going on the lines of what you guys were saying, I just want to know, what the hell happened to sense of humor? I mean, my God, you know, there was a time when we all could make fun of each other and laugh and carry on and just call it a day. And now it's like anybody says anything remotely funny, they get chastised for it and the society and everything. I mean, you get a hangnail, they want to sue you, right? It's just ridiculous. I mean, look at all the great sitcoms we used to have where it didn't matter all nationalities and backgrounds, and we can make fun of each other and laugh. Look at the Dean Martin roast of Crying Out Loud. Look at the stuff that was said and class and class and taste, you know what I mean? And the comedians back then, I mean they could like make fun of anything they wanted and everybody knew was humor, right? But nowadays, I mean, it's like you make fun of anything at all. It's like, oh, they hashtag you or they condemn you, they blackball you or so forth. You know, Rob Snyder, I saw an interview with Rob Snyder here recently, and he was talking about that, you know, it's really tough to be a comedian nowadays, in which and his acts, his stand-ups, he has to have people sign waivers that they won't, you know, come after him, basically.
Because those last kids ruined it for everyone.
Right?
Yep.
It really is sad.
Yep.
And why do you think people nowadays go back in time and watch those funny sitcoms and those funny shows and television events? It's because that's where they get true. They can't get anything funny nowadays because everybody's so freaking serious.
And you're right.
I mean, well, Rodney Dangerfield couldn't have been famous today. It would have been impossible.
Oh, they would ring him a new one today. Oh my gosh.
I know.
And Mel Jesus Brooks? Christ. Can you imagine Mel Brooks? What they would do to Mel Brooks?
Oh,
oh my God.
The Blazing Saddles.
But the thing is,
oh my God,
is that those guys had the ability to roast themselves. I mean, if you watch any Mel Brooks movies,
Yeah, Mel Brooks is Jewish, and if there's one group he rips on in his movies, are Jewish folks. You know, he had the ability to laugh at himself, and I think once you get that ability to say, hey, yeah, I am funny looking, and get on with your life, it makes, if you could crack on yourself, you could crack on anybody else. It's just, people True. Get so uptight, and they get so pissy about things. Hey, if somebody walks up to me and says, hey, you're short and fat, well, guess what? I earned it. So, good call. well done. I'm glad to see you're, you know, stating the painfully obvious. But, yeah, I appreciate it. And perhaps if, you know, if those bags of pretzels would quit attacking me at night, then, yeah, I wouldn't be this way. But, no, nah, man.
That's funny, Dave.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
So I can blame pretzels for attacking me. That's great.
Yeah,
thank
if you. If I wasn't sitting around eating Cool Ranch Doritos and watching Apocalypse Now, I wouldn't be this size. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, good. Now I know what to blame the Reese cups. It's not my fault, really. It's the Reese cups.
That's
yeah,
right.
Promise.
It's all the Reese cups. Yeah.
It's like Bobby said, that's the devil. That's the devil, Wiz.
The Reese cup devil.
You know why they call them Reese pieces? Because when you eat so much, you get extra pieces all over your body, and it's from the Reese's.
That's right. You got to clean them up.
Yeah. Reese's ain't the devil, Mama.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're right, Papastro. We can't take a joke anymore. And if someone makes, you know, what makes a great world is the fact that we have different groups in this world. We are not all the same. And we all have equally funny things about us. It's okay if you want to laugh at it. At least it was when I was growing up, but apparently you can't do that now. And I guess that's why they have CIS. Every show is a murder mystery anymore because we can't have comedy. Oh my goodness, you can't, guy. You couldn't have Three's Company. I don't know. That's right up there with Apocalypse. Never. Dave, but I mean, you couldn't have Three's Company, you couldn't have Enough Truth, you couldn't have...
Yeah, that shows awful.
And you couldn't have Star Trek. You could not have that original cast on the bridge of the Enterprise today. You'd get hounded. It was a wonderfully diverse group, but they would just say, well, you just made it up. You know, what are you supposed to do?
Let's face it. Captain Kirk was way ahead of his time, man, because he was making out with aliens and God knows what else on that show. He was way ahead of his time.
See, I was a big McCoy guy on Star Trek because he was the best. He was the only guy. On the Enterprise that could cuss and call Kirk by his nickname. Damn it, Jim. You know, you're like, yes. You know, Spock's a tight ass. You know, Scotty, he's always too busy working to have any fun. You know, Chekhov, he's trying to figure out what the hell he's doing in life, you know, and all that. But Bones, on the other hand, he had it under control, man.
And all the time, Uhura was hailing all the frequencies, you know?
That's it.
Being in the break room and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, my.
I think Uhura, honestly, was the real lady that was keeping it all together. Because she never got shooken up or riled up, man. She was just like Spock, man. She was just like, you know, whatever you say, Cadmus.
That's it.
Yeah. She was the rock in the Enterprise.
Well, I think Scotty was full of scotch is what I think.
He was probably drunk well, at the time.
I was going to say, if you work down there in the engine room long enough, you know what I mean?
No wonder, you know, looking now looking back, no wonder Sulu kept eyeing the captain and going, aye, aye, captain.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Full thrusters ahead, captain.
Oh,
Star Trek is great, though.
We loved it.
Oh man, classic.
That we did, and well, that was a good one, Papa Stro. That got us on the Star Trek,
the Star Trek
topic, which we all love, and yeah, and we appreciate that. Well, we'll tell everybody that. Pop Stro and I had a great time this past weekend. We were at the Carolina Country Music Awards at the House of Blues in Myrtle Beach. Now, Pop Stro, that was a whole lot of fun. Why don't you tell everybody what all went on there? Because we got to see friends and make new friends and everything.
It was great hanging out with Dr. John at the Carolina Country Music Awards at the House of Blues in Myrtle Beach. On my birthday, man. It was one of the best birthdays ever, actually. And Cassie Page, I mean, she just... Oh man, she just rocked it out, stole the show. She was playing instruments, she was working that tambourine and singing. I mean, she was doing it all on stage. I mean, I even told her after the show, I was like, how in the world did you do it? I mean, you got me blown up just watching. It was great, you know, big thanks to Sweet Tea for hooking us up. And it was a great time seeing all the artists and you know, congratulations to the ones that won the awards and of course, you know, Cassie Page for another astounded performance. She's incredible, guys. She really is.
Oh, I love her.
Well, she is. She's got her Nashville recording contract now, and she's got her another new album coming out, and she's going to be on here in a couple of weeks. Not just for Stro's birthday party, but she's going to be coming on just to talk about her career and her life and a lot of fun things. And we met some really great musicians. We've got a couple of those bands that are doing landmark kind of great things that are touring all over the country. They're going to be on Pop Culture Stars here. I got some names, phone numbers, already been in touch with them, and they're all excited. You know, they want to come on here with us and hang out with Papa Stro and the Queen of Sparkle and Dave and Todd and not me, but that's okay. But no, so they're going to be coming on. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a great time this first quarter with some of those artists and everything. And we just got a lot of good things. And I'm going to be, as I said, I'm going to get back at Dave for Anna Nicole here in about two or three weeks. I've got a little bit more investigation to go on. And, you know, Dave, it's funny. That was 3 years ago, and I've still never forgotten it. You seem to have never forgotten it. And if you're not careful, we'll get Bigfoot on here.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, they're one and the same.
I don't know. Now you better not say that if the Chief Squatch is around. Now they'll be they'll put it. They'll get you. Don't you do that? But yeah, we got a lot of great things going, and it looks like we're heading toward the end of another legendary Pop Culture Stars. Let's go around the room, do a plug, do a goodbye, say whatever you'd like. It doesn't have to be short. Everybody can have their own circle around. We will start. We'll start with Dave because Dave can always talk. That's the good thing about Dave. We'll go with Dave, and then we'll go with Todd, and then we'll go with Queen of Sparkle. Then we'll go with Papa Stro, and then I'll cap us off. So, Dave, what have you got to say to all the people? And we've got a lot of people listening in here on BSC Nation. And by the way, I got to tell everybody this. Not only are we going to stay live on BSC Nation, but we are headed to Spotify, and we're headed to iTunes starting next week. So We'll have an even larger audience to listen to Dave complain. That's the weird thing. We've got more people to listen to him complain. Doesn't make sense. Go ahead, Dave.
They're just waiting for me to say something.
Just like working with you.
I'm ready.
Yeah. What's he going to do
Starting
this time, you know?
This week, yeah.
Well, my plug will be very simple. It's for the last, I venture to say, 10, 15 minutes, I've had cuddled up next to me the prettiest chocolate lab on the planet, Sadie, that she's a rescue dog, and she became part of the family on December 1st, so Friday will be the two-month anniversary of her being an Atwell, and she's looking great. She's a sweetheart, and I'm going to tell you something. Far be it from me to say, you know, don't go out and buy a pet. I mean, if that's what you want to do, you want to go out and you get a certain breed of dog, and you want to go out and get a registered dog, and you want to pay the money, that's your call. But for all the dogs that need a home, that need some love, they're out there in the pound, they're out these rescues and everything, and, you know, Sadie, when she came out here to the house for the first week she was here, I mean, it was, it wasn't easy, you know, she was, you know, we were trying to get her to adapt, she wouldn't go outside, you know, and, you know, the eating was minimal and all that kind of stuff, and, now, you know, here it is 2 months later, she is one of the crowd, and she has sat right here next to me and has let me pet the fur off of her in the last 15 minutes, and you get that warm fuzzy from knowing that there's one less dog that made it, or one less dog that didn't make it, because you opened up your home and your heart and let them in, and she's great. So between her and Misty, you know, the Mastiff that we got, and Stroh had a chance to meet Misty not long ago, and she's gotten so much bigger since that time. But go on out there and get you a dog, or go get you a cat, do a rescue thing, because I never thought in a million years I'd get that warm, fuzzy feeling out of it, but every time I see how well Sadie's doing and how she's becoming more and more a part of the family, here's a dog that was neglected. And, you know, when somebody says they love the dog and don't take care of it, that's just lip service. They love the idea of having a pet, but they don't love the pet. So, you know, I see Sadie now. She's putting on weight. She's doing great. And, there's a lot of love here in the house, so it's just good to see she's been able to join us and everything. So that's my plug. Go out there and adopt a pet if you're getting lonely.
Hey, I'm going to support the plug here real quick, just throwing in with the, you know, three of the last four critters that have come into a Saxon household have all been rescued, two off the street, and one from the county shelter.
Oh, really?
It, you know, it seems to be good things across the board. Y'all remember me talking about the cat Yuki and Kana found during the hurricane? Well, that's over there with Darian and Casey. Hobbs, who we put down not that long ago before I left Sam's, and then the one Kana got just before I left there, Kylo was the rescue, or was in the shelter. So, yeah, look, all I can tell you is those critters are happy where they're at. They're happy with one another, and they're happy with the family, and they're in better places. You know, take the time, get them fixed. Get them, especially if they're males, you don't want them scent marking. If they're females, you don't want to hear them when they're in heat. I mean, because let's face it, if they're in heat, they're going to have the other part of the cycle, and you're going to have your cat sitting there talking around the house wanting damn chocolate. So, no. Yeah. You take the time to get them picked.
It's a good thing. Get those critters fixed. There's a lot less spray.
All right, we appreciate that, Todd. You got anything? You got any events you want to plug?
All right, I'm going to. The event I want to plug is us getting Liz back on a broadcast and taking the time to drive back while went through the vehicle mishap. She had to do the recovery. She had stuff going on with mom and jumped right back into the thick of working again. And we're going to plug her new Honda Civic. We got our Liz back and Liz got a new set of wheels. So look, I'm happy we have all this right on the planet.
Well, thank you, guys. That was sweet.
Yeah, good to have you back.
Absolutely.
Good to be back. I've missed you guys.
Well, since you missed us, why don't you do your comment and plug?
I would like to take this moment to respond to the pet adoption plug from a second ago. I will say this. Both of the dogs that my wife and I have, which we've had one for 11 years and one for almost 12 years. They have been the best asset to our lives. I mean, they are like our children. But I will say, since this accident, I've been having a little bit of PTSD panic attacks, like while I'm driving sometimes. And then when I get home, like if I fall asleep on the couch and I'm, whatever, sometimes I can wake up having like a nightmare reliving the accident. And I did not realize, but my dog has started sensing it before it happens, and he puts his chin on my knee. And I don't even realize before, I start to get the panic attack. And now, like, my wife was just like, you realize every time you have a panic attack, Shapes is right there. My dog's names are Shapes and Colors. And Shapes is always right there every time I have a panic attack. And he will not stop until I start petting him. And I apparently calmed down. And I had no idea he was so in tune with me until this accident. And I've had awesome. Him for almost, in March, he will be 11 in March. I mean, I've had him that long and had no idea how much of an emotional support he was. So, rescue animals can be the greatest part of your life, and you will be giving them the best part of you, as well as they will be giving you the best part of them. I mean, rescue dogs are amazing. Now, I'm not saying breed, you want to breed. It's whatever you want to purchase. But rescue dogs know how bad life can be and know how great life is whenever they're out of that situation. And for me, both of our dogs are rescues, and both of them have been, again, to keep harping on it, the greatest assets of our lives. And they have changed not only us, but the way we view things, the way we do things, and how we choose to live our lives. So adopt. Give love to an animal that needs it. That's 100%. I'm on board for that.
That's pretty classic, but what's almost odd is I'm pretty sure Pop broke the pile on. Dr. John Fields said I did. It's like none of this is pre-scripted, folks. This is all we are playing off the cuff. I just thought I should mention it.
Yep.
It's all off the cuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We have no
idea
what we're going to say.
It's usually good. Yeah, it's always good, actually. Well, thank you, Liz. We appreciate that insight. And give your dog a hug. Give your dog a hug when you get home from us.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I will.
Thank you.
I'll certainly do that.
All right, Papa Stro, what you got going on?
Well, first off, I would like to thank the South Texas Underground Film Festival and Green Hero Films for screening and playing the film documentary about me, the Maestro, this past weekend on my birthday in Corpus Christi, Texas. Much love and appreciation to those guys for sure. And thank you for everyone that turned out to watch the documentary. Coming up, I will be with the cast of the Dust series at the Statesville Comic-Con Saturday, February 9th. And that'll be from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. The Comic-Con will be, and we'll be part of a special panel talking about season 3, and we're doing a special table read there, live table read there at the Statesville Comic-Con for sure. And facebook.com/StatesvilleComicCon, we can find more info on that. And I'll be on the lookout also for the upcoming season 3 of the Dust series, which we'll be starting production for this weekend, actually. So be on the lookout for Dust series season 3 on their YouTube and Facebook pages, respectively. Just look for, type in Dust series in the search for both. And for all the latest on TV, wrestling, and film, go to my official website at thestro.com. Also on merchandise, just click on the merchandise link. Check out all the cool Papa Stro merchandise, merch. Facebook at Stro the Maestro. Twitter at @StrO. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at Stro Maestro. And support your boy on Patreon at patreon.com/PapaStro. And WCW Retro every Thursday night at 9. Which tomorrow night will be another episode of WCW Retro on VOCNation.com.
Absolutely. You got a lot of great things going on, Papa Stro. Thank you. It was great hanging out with you for your birthday at the Carolina Country Music Awards down there at the House of Blues, and hanging out with Cassie Page and Sweet Tea and that whole bunch. It was a lot of fun. I guess what I've got to say is...
Hey, wait, John, well, can I interrupt you for just 1 second?
Absolutely.
The one thing I wanted to make sure I plugged that I forgot to mention because I was just so wrapped up in the dog speech, but I wanted to make sure that you guys all knew how much it means to me that you guys think of me as part of the unit. You know, all the stuff that's been going on lately has been almost too much to handle at certain times. And obviously, you know, PTSD is a real thing. But I will say that having you guys support me, having you guys check in on me, you know, being able to reach out to you guys and say, hey, you know what, I don't think I can make it to the show tonight. I'm having a particularly rough day. Like, having your support has just made, I don't know, just this healing process so much more bearable. Because, you know, it's really hard when you can't do the things that you normally can do. And I just think the world of you guys. You guys are great friends, not just colleagues, not just, you know, panel members, but friends. And I think the world of you guys. So I really, really appreciate everybody who's reached out to check on me. And you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for, you know, being a part of my life. This essentially, that's my plug today, is I want you guys to get gas insurance. And I love you, all of you. I really do.
Love you too. Your family, Liv. Your family.
We love you, Liv. Yeah. Big hug, Tony. Big hug.
But that gas's more important than anything. You're right.
Gap.
Sorry, John.
Gap, by God.
No, that's all right. No, I'm glad to. We got, you know, now that we have moved to a 90-minute show, we're not quite as pushed and everything, and the folks on folks on Spotify and iTunes, I think they like a little bit longer shows. So I think, you know, we're doing great. Just so glad to be here on VSC Nation with Brady and Papa Stro and everybody. I guess I will go from the micro to the macro. First of all, tomorrow night I'll see Papa Stro at 9:30 on WCW Retro. Tomorrow night at 11 p.m., Scary Cast. Devin will be gone, so it'll be me and Papa Stro. We have got Jackson Samuel from Australia. He's going to be talking about the Bunyip, who's a lot like our lizard man. So, Papa Stro, you get to moderate me and Jackson talking about lizard man. We love you for being on that show, buddy. I tell you that. Thank you so much. And
the lizard man down under.
That's right. There is. Well, as Jackson said, you know what? He said, mate, they're all over the world. I don't know why in the United States you guys don't want to acknowledge them. And there's my best Australian accent. But, he's right. We're talking about that kind of stuff and everything. And then in case anybody doesn't know it, I have segmented all the Bigfoot stuff on into Bigfoot and Company, 4 p.m. on Monday afternoon with me and Matt Delp, my buddy. I think most of you have met Matt. He and I talked to some Bigfoot hunters and explorers. We got We have just a blast. So we may even talk about Dave one day. But anyway, so we got three things going on. My Comic-Con season does not start until April the 27th, the Georgia Bigfoot Conference in Clayton, Georgia. And then it gets mad crazy busy with Lizard Man and just a whole bunch of things. So more on that later on. And I am pleased to announce there will be a special 10-part series. Now, if you guys, I don't know if you guys are ready for this, but there's going to be a special 10-part series that I am producing and co-hosting on none other than Planet X. There's just Ooh. Not enough Planet X to go around. So yeah, we worked on that one, and it's going to be a blast. We're going to start recording that and getting that ready to go starting about 6 weeks. Doing it with Marshall Masters. He's a superb guy. He's a great author. He's a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM, and he and I have become. I did an interview with him yesterday. He's just a great guy, and he likes some of my crazy comments. So we're going to work on that 10-part series on Planet X. Got to get that done really before my Comic-Con season starts and the character season starts. But that's fine. So we've got a little bit of time here in the next in February and March to get a few things done, a few projects done that I want to do before it all comes out in April with the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. So it's going to be a blast. I'm so glad to have all of you with us every Wednesday night on VSC Nation. Our reruns and our downloads will be available on Spotify and iTunes. But we are a flagship 9 o'clock show on the one and the only VOC Nation. Pop Stroh, thanks for introducing me to Brady Hicks 3 years ago. Hard to believe it's been this long. So I want to say thanks to everybody. Have a magnificent weekend. I'm going to have to do a computer restart before I can do. I have to finish this show on my cell phone, but thank goodness it worked. So and that was transparent, I hope, to everybody. So anyway, thanks a lot. Have a great week. We'll see everybody catch WCW Retro tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on VSC Nation and 11 p.m. Scary Cast. It'll be a blast. So thanks a lot. Good tidings. Greetings. Have a wonderful week. Be careful. Be safe. And get Gap Insurance. Right, Liz? Yes.
Absolutely.
Get Gap Insurance. All right, you guys. Be good. Take care. Thank you.
All right. Have a great night, everybody.
Good talk.